From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns continues to look at the Savior's institution of the Lord's Supper and how it teaches us his thoughts about his death on the cross. As the Passover represented God delivering his people from Egyptian bondage, so by his death, Christ delivers his people from the bondage of sin. By his atoning death, the Lord Jesus brings his people into a special fellowship in the Lamb of God. Glory awaited the Savior, even as it awaits those who are united to him by faith. We'll come to the message in a few minutes, but first Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to report an ominous development. Exposing error is now a hate crime in Canada.
A Canadian Christian ministry that has spent the last 30 years exposing false religions, cults, and fads in the church has had to give up its charity status. Evidently, the Canadian government has decided that freedom of speech does not extend to charities and that deems efforts to expose the religious errors of others a form of hate speech. According to the founder of the ministry, and I quote, "We tried diligently to comply with government demands, transferring ownership of our website and magazine out of the charity. We agreed to teach only Christian doctrine under the charity banner, with all the critiques of other religions done under a separate corporation. Surely this was enough." It wasn't. "We now cannot present Christianity as better than any other religion. We cannot be persuasive when presenting Christianity." Close the quote. Not only has the charity been disbanded to make way for a ministry corporation that will be fully taxable, but the people who created the apologetic videos and literature that it has been using for years cannot take their own products with them into their new corporation. If they want them, they'll have to buy them. Otherwise, they'll have to make them over to a charity recognized by and acceptable to the Canadian government. I can't speak for the standard of the apologetic work done by the Christian ministry in question for the simple reason that I have not encountered it. But I can speak against the government's interference in Christian ministry. At the moment, the Canadian government seems dedicated to the destruction of any statement or promotion of the exclusive claims of historic Christianity. At the same time, it has allowed a leading homosexual activist to receive the nation's highest civilian honour. The recipient is the minister of a pro-sodomite church, the man whose actions led to Canada's decision to recognize same-sex so-called marriages. This intolerant attitude toward biblical Christianity can only get worse. There are forces at work to make sure it does. Europe is as bad as Canada in its assaults on the rights of believers to stand for the faith once delivered to the saints. Today, governments use the power of the tax-exempt status to coerce churches and Christian ministries into submission. When that fails, as it must in the case of all true Christians, they will proceed to the next step, the enforcement of hate crimes legislation against them. Soon, quoting the Bible and what it says against homosexuals will be a hate crime, punishable by severe fines or even imprisonment. Naming false religion, especially Islam and its false prophet, will bring down the full weight of the law on our heads. This is where the madness of political correctness is leading. It has already begun, not only in Canada and Europe, even here in the US. There are disturbing signs that we're headed down the same road. Weak people will succumb for fear of being labelled haters. But people with a genuine love for God and other people will remember that love rejoiceth in the truth and will do all they can to expose the lies of false religion that are ruining men in body and soul and give those people the pure truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
A great day is coming, heaven's gates will open wide, and all who love the Lord will enter in. To join with their loved ones, who in Jesus Christ have died, there is eternal life in heaven to begin. And the Lord himself will greet us, so much joy will fill that day. And with the smile of the proudest father, he looks at us to say, welcome home, children. This is the place I prepare for you. Welcome home, children.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
But the Passover not only commemorated a redemption, it was an anticipation of glory. We have read that already, Matthew 26 and 29. He said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In other words, he's already looking forward to the glory. There is an anticipation of glory in the Passover that he brought them out. As the Old Testament says, he brought them out that he might bring them in. He didn't bring them out to leave them in the wilderness. He brought them out of Egypt with a view to bringing them into Canaan. That's always God's way. There was an anticipation of glory in the Passover. That's still held, you know. At least it was for many years among the Jews as they celebrated the Passover. Wherever they were, if you can imagine the Jews in the ghettos of Poland in the days prior to and the Second World War, in those days when Hitlerism was spreading its dark shadow across Europe, if you can imagine little groups of Jews eating their Passover meal, and they would say, this year here, next year in Jerusalem. The idea was that there is a future. There is a glory. They thought Messiah would come. Blindness in part hath happened unto Israel, for Messiah has come. And they blindly, viciously refused him. But he's coming again. He is coming again. As we have just read. We read it again in Luke 22. Or we can read it in 22, 29 and 30. If you read what Jesus says there, I appoint unto you a kingdom. It's a beautiful word that he uses. He says, I covenant, I appoint by way of covenant unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed by way of covenant unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What an anticipation of glory. We're doing this, Paul says, until he come. Peter tells us the suffering always leads to the glory. The glory must follow. Here's the Lord Jesus saying, I'm going to die, but take this bread and eat it. Take this cup and drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. Let it commemorate the redemption that you have by my blood.
but let it also anticipate the glory that awaits us in the kingdom. And of course, it was preeminently a fellowship in the Lamb. Every Jew in Egypt was told to do two things: shelter under the blood of the Lamb and eat the flesh of the Lamb. That was the command. And if you can see the Jews in their houses there in Egypt awaiting the coming of the death angel in that final great plague with which God was going to devastate the land of the Pharaohs, if you can see them gathered there, the Lamb has been slain, its flesh has been roasted, the blood is in the basin, the hyssop is dipped in the blood and it's applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. And then each takes with the bitter herbs that signify repentance, and with their whole baggage ready, whatever they were taking, everything ready for flight, to say that they were ready to leave the house of bondage. Each would then take the flesh of the Lamb, covered by its blood, they would eat the flesh. Theirs was a fellowship in the Lamb. And when the Lord Jesus took that very Passover and He converted it, as it were, into the supper of the Lord, the Lord's table, He was saying the very same thing. I am proclaiming my people, my church, as a fellowship in the Lamb. It's what it is to be a Christian, you know. It's to be under the blood. It's to, as Jesus said, eat my flesh. What did He mean? Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, who in many ways was the great theological foundation upon which the Church of Rome built its claims, his ecclesiology left a lot to be desired. But I quote him because there's no name stands higher in the esteem of Rome than Augustine, at least professedly. And Augustine said, to eat means to believe. As John 6 makes perfectly clear. John 6 was not spoken at the time of the institution of the Lord's Supper. John 6 was not spoken at the time of the end of the life of Christ. This was much earlier in His ministry. And He says, eat my flesh. And if you eat my flesh, you'll live. And if you don't, you'll die. What is He saying? He's saying that salvation is by a personal appropriating faith. Salvation is by a personal entering into fellowship with the Lamb. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be in the church. You can be Presbyterian and be damned. You can be Baptist and perish in hell. You can be Methodist, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic. You name whatever name you want to put in there, you'll find they're all well represented in the caverns of the damned. Because people tend to make the same mistake wherever they go. If we enter into that fellowship, or we have that sacrament or that thing, then we're all right. The very opposite is true. The only thing that saves is fellowship in the Lamb. So the Lord Jesus saw His death then as the only way of redemption for man from the burdens and bondage of sin. The fourth thing is that He saw His death as the secure foundation and as the sustaining food of His people as they live in a hostile world. He said, there's bread, take it and eat it. There's wine, take it and drink it. But He didn't intend those to sustain the body. This was not meant to be the kind of a feast that you would sit down to like some 10-course meal, that this is meant to give you great strength of body. No, there's a morsel of bread. There's a sip of wine. It's not meant to sustain the body. Nor indeed, in themselves, were the bread and the wine meant to feed or fortify the soul. But the death of Christ which they signify is both the foundation of the soul and the food for all its needs. It's the foundation for the soul. It's its secure foundation. What did God say back in Egypt? In Exodus 12:13, he said, take you this blood, put it in a basin, take a bunch of hyssop and sprinkle it to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. That word pass over simply means what we would take it to mean, I'm going to pass you over. There's the death angel hitting that place and that place, but I'm going to pass over you. The picture that it paints is of one halting or limping. I'm going to move with what appears an uneven gait, stepping there and stepping there and missing there and stepping there. I'm going to pass over you. Why would he pass over? When I see the blood. I remember, I probably have mentioned this sometime in the past, but I remember reading a legend, only a legend, but what a truth it tells, of a little boy first born in the house, and he's worried. Father, the death angel's coming, and I'm the firstborn. Have you put the blood in the doorposts? Have you put the blood in the lintel? The father assures him, yes, son, it's all done. But the wee fellow's still not at all happy, and he wants to go and look. Make sure the blood is there. And even though he sees the blood there, as that midnight hour approaches, his heart is beating, and the sweat is pouring, and the soul is in trouble. But God passed over. Why? When I see the blood. And of course the question is, was he more or less secure because he worried? No. If you were to go down to the next house and find another little fella and he's absolutely blithely certain, I'm okay because the blood is there. He never sweat, one bit of sweat, never had an extra heartbeat. Was he any more or less secure because he was so certain? No, not at all. You see, the security is objective in the shed blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the glorious truth. And when the Lord Jesus says, take and eat and take and drink, he's saying, I'm the fulfillment of all those Passover rituals. Here in my blood, you will find perfect security. Your soul's eternal security rests in my Father's sight of the blood. That's what Christ is teaching. When we therefore drink this cup today, we don't drink it in order to be saved. Nor are we more secure because we drink it. We drink it as a testimony that Christ has shed his blood, that the Father has looked on that blood, and he is satisfied. But it's also, of course, a sustaining food. I said this is not in itself meant to feed your body, and it's certainly not in itself meant to feed your soul. But it is meant to bring your soul to be fed. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. He says, purge out therefore the old leaven. And he's talking now about sin. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you're unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I want you to notice this. What does he call this? He calls it a feast. But you only take one little bit of bread. Physically, it wouldn't be a feast for a mouse. I say that reverently. It's so small. You'll not slake your thirst physically with a little drink of this cup. Yet he calls it a feast. It's meant to be a feast to the soul. It's meant to strengthen the soul, not because of the elements in themselves, but because of the significance of those elements. As I keep emphasizing at every communion feast here, we look beyond the elements.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.